السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
أشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول
الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
أشهد أن سيدنا
حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
لا حول ولا قوة
حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله
لا إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين Amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, dear elders, this is the final Jumu'ah in the blessed month of Ramadan. The final Jumu'ah in this month of fasting. The final Jumu'ah in this month of the Qur'an. And because we are in the final Jumu'ah of Shahrul Qur'an wa Shahrul Siyam, we want to reflect a little bit more about the guidance contained in the book of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Allah revealed this Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over the course of 23 years. Therefore, we all know as Muslims that there are chapters, that we call Makkiya, Meccan chapters, and chapters that are Madaniya. They are revealed in Mecca or revealed in Medina. However, many of the great Imams, such as Al-Imam Zarkashi and Imam Al-Suyuti and others who wrote about the sciences of the Qur'an, have mentioned other subdivisions of the Nuzul or revelation of the Divine Book. There are chapters that are Mekki and chapters that are Madani, but there are also chapters that are Layli and Nahari, chapters revealed at night and chapters revealed in the daytime. There are chapters that are Sayfi, revealed in the summertime, and chapters that are Shita'i, revealed in the wintertime. There are chapters that are Sama'i, they are heavenly, celestial, and there are chapters that are Ardi, revealed on earth. And you have even a chapter that is revealed in a cave. And lastly, you have chapters of the Quran that are firashi, meaning they are revealed while still in bed. And there are chapters that are naumi, meaning they were revealed in dreams. And among the chapters of the Quran that were revealed in a dream and then recited to the community is the shortest chapter in the Quran, Suratul Kawthar, the chapter of supreme abundance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah Ta'ala tells us, indeed we have granted you supreme abundance. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice. Indeed, those who despise you are certainly cut off. Imam Muslim records in his Sahih from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, whilst we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dozed off and then he raised his head and he was smiling. He said, why are you smiling, O Messenger of Allah? He said, a surah has been revealed to me just now. And he recited, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. He recited Surah Al-Kawthar, which was revealed to him in that state of sleep. Dear brothers and sisters, this chapter, the shortest chapter of the Quran, deals with the plots and insults directed towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his enemies. And Surah Al-Kawthar is Allah Ta'ala expressing his divine protection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his support for the believers. Surah Al-Kawthar symbolizes the reality of guidance, the reality of goodness, and the reality of faith, and also highlights the reality of evil, of error, and how one is blessed with supreme abundance and the other is doomed to being cut off in this life and in the next. Now this chapter, like other chapters of the Quran, has a background. There's a story behind it. Among Quraysh were those who were very bitter opponents and enemies to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he was trying to convey the divine message of Allah's oneness. And so they would taunt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would insult him, and they would insult the believers, and they would harm the believers as well. And they would try, through a variety of techniques and tactics and strategies, to divert people from the guidance of Allah. يُصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. As Allah expresses so many times in the Quran, they seek to block and prevent others from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to insult him by saying that he is abtar, meaning a person, a man, without posterity, without surviving male relatives. And they're referring to the early death of his sons. One of them said, Don't be bothered with him, for he's going to die without descendants, and that will be the end of his mission. You understand that in such a tribal society, they put a premium on having sons to further one's legacy and lineage. So in calling him Abatar, they are giving a very harsh and heavy insult. And so to console the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala revealed this chapter, reassuring him of his abiding and abundant goodness that Allah chose for him, and the deprivation and being cut off and the loss awaiting his persecutors and insulters. This chapter is, of course, the shortest chapter in the Quran, but its reality concerns supreme abundance, and that is what Al-Kawthar means. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Certainly we have given you Al-Kawthar. He begins this chapter by mentioning the emphasis, the ta'kid, by saying, Inna, verily we, using the royal we that indicates Allah's majesty and greatness, saying that he gave him Al-Kawthar. The question then is, what exactly is Kawthar? What does Kawthar entail? When we look in the works of our ulama who commented on this chapter, we find that historically, there are 26 opinions about the definition or meaning of Kawthar. In the hadith of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu that we cited earlier, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this chapter to the companions, he said to them, do you know what the Kawthar is? And Anas says, we responded, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his messenger know best. And he responded, it is a river that Allah Jalla wa Ala promised me, and there is an abundance of goodness in it. It is a fount for my community, and they will gather by it on the day of judgment. So here we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describing the Kawthar as a body of water, as a river or a fount. But one should not think that the Kawthar is limited or restricted to the body of water. Because Imam al-Bukhari records a hadith from Ibn Jubayr in which some people were saying that Kawthar is just a river of paradise. And he corrected them by saying no, because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that the Kawthar, the river, is from the Kawthar. It's from the many examples of supreme goodness and abundance granted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of the ulama have said it is the river. Others have said it is the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said. Al-Hasan al-Basri says that the Kawthar refers to the Quran itself. Whereas Ikrimah said that Kawthar is nubuwa, is prophethood. Others said that Kawthar refers to La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Others say that Kawthar refers to having a very large community. Others said that Kawthar refers to the sublime family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet others have said that Al-Kawthar, supreme abundance, is referring to the exalted character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of these different opinions are not contradicting each other. This is known as ikhtilafu tanawwu', or differences of variation, meaning they're all true. From a particular vantage point, these are all correct. There's no contradiction in any of these. And the purpose of the chapter, again, was to strengthen and console the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after facing so much abuse, and to boost the resolve of his community by reminding them that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Sahibul Kawthar, the recipient of supreme and abundant goodness. And these different explanations given by the Sahaba and the Tabi'un explain the universal principle in certain particulars, that Kawthar is supreme goodness, supreme abundance, and depending on how you look at it, it can refer to this, it can refer to that, It is all from the great abundance given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And note Allah says kawthar, which comes from the word kathra, indicating abundance or multitude. So kawthar is unrestricted. It is unlimited. Allah Ta'ala is telling His beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have given you what is plentiful, what is overflowing, what is rich, what is unstinting and never ending. Dear brothers and sisters, if you wish to observe this kawthar, just look around you. If you wish to observe this supreme abundance given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find it wherever you look. Allah Ta'ala gave supreme abundance in making him the seal of the prophets, granting him nubuwa and risala and ummiya. The divine speech revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is kawthar. The Quran is supreme abundance. Every chapter is a fountain of abundance. Every ayah is a fountain of supreme abundance. It is the font, the source from which great abundance flows to the community, giving his ummah guidance and uprightness. You find kawthar in the sunnah, kawthar in the beautiful way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. His way, his behavior, his character, all of that is kawthar, supreme abundance. And we find this kawthar in the billions upon billions of believers across history who cling to his way throughout the centuries in the far-flung corners of the earth, with millions upon millions following in his footsteps with love, with reverence and devotion. Everywhere you go in the world, you will find people who carry the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what time zone you're in, a fard prayer is in. If you go halfway across the world where it is 1 o'clock in the morning, people are praying tahajjud. They're praying qiyamul layl. They are experiencing the 27th night of Ramadan. We're still waiting for Maghrib. If you go elsewhere in the world, people are praying asr. If you go elsewhere, they're praying Maghrib and having iftar right now. Everywhere you go in the world, there are people in salat or fasting or reciting the Quran or engaged in dhikr or dua. No matter where you go, that a supreme abundance manifests everywhere around the world, across the globe. And that is the supreme abundance given to his beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gave to us. And you see this kawthar or supreme abundance and goodness manifest in the goodness that humanity gained from his message sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reaching even those who have not yet expressed their iman and belief in him. The reality is we are recipients of great good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've received at the hands of Sahibul Kawthar sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not possible for us to enumerate all of the manifestations of the Kawthar. It is abundant goodness in an absolute and unlimited sense. And that's why this chapter does not define Kawthar in any specific way. It is open-ended abundance. There are narrations, of course, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes Kawthar as a river in paradise granted to him. But as we said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu contended that the river is but one part of the supreme abundance that Allah Ta'ala gave his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar." We gave you kawthar. We gave you, using the past tense. Using the past tense, Allah is establishing that this giving is not a future occurrence. Allah is not saying we're going to give you kawthar. Allah is saying we already gave you. The supreme abundance was already given to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And notice also that Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar." Indeed, we have given you supreme abundance. When Allah Ta'ala uses the word أعطيناك, إعطاء implies ownership, mulkiya. Being given implies ownership. And for this reason, some of our ulama have said that this means that we are all ultimately guests at the river of Kawthar, guests at the Hawd upon resurrection on the Day of Judgment. Because Allah is saying that He gave it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what an honor it is to be from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi billahi wa tallahi, there's no greater honor. There's no greater honor than being someone who belongs to the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no greater honor than to be a daif, a guest, min duyufi sahib al-kawthar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does he say about honoring guests? He says, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfa. Whosoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him honor his guest. And who has the greatest iman in Allah in the last day? It is him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how is he going to treat his guest on that day? And all of the ummah are from his guest at the Kawthar, at the Hawd on the last day. What kind of honor is his ummah going to receive on that day? So if you are an ummati, if you are from the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you belong to the one who was granted supreme abundance. This means that if you understand the great abundance Allah Ta'ala has given you and me, then what are we lacking? How can we feel a lack? How can we search for abundance outside of His guidance, outside of His way, when we know that we've been granted supreme abundance through affiliation to Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We have to therefore show the effects of the Kawthar in our lives, to show the effects of having received such great abundance in our lives. What does that mean? It means we have to acknowledge these gifts, we have to acknowledge these blessings, and we have to receive these gifts of abundance by using them properly and showing gratitude for them. And that gratitude is expressed in sincere worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar." After mentioning how He granted him supreme abundance, He says, "Fasalli li rabbika wanhar." The fa in this ayah is sababiyya. It means it is the cause. Therefore, because of this great abundance, pray to your Lord and sacrifice. There is a subtlety here, dear brothers and sisters. In many ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala orders His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to respond or to repel the attacks of the disbelievers with salat, with good character, and with tasbih, and so on and so forth. As Allah Ta'ala mentions, كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدَ وَقَتَرِبْ. Do not obey him, rather prostrate and draw near. But in this chapter, Allah Ta'ala tells him to respond, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Not only is Allah Ta'ala telling him to engage in salat, He is also telling him to sacrifice. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبَطَرْ. And then Allah concludes this chapter by saying, indeed, your enemy, he is the one truly cut off. The word used here, shani, literally means one who hates. So this is the hater, the one who hates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ayah is teaching us that anyone who has hatred for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be abtar. They will be cut off from all blessings, cut off from all goodness in this life and in the next. So if there are any haters who receive material blessings, the goods of the world, they're still cut off. And whatever they receive of this world, is just istidraj. It's just a lure to a greater punishment in the hereafter. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an. Abtar, as we said, refers to the one who has no male offspring, who has no progeny. And there's a story about this, because it was Al-As ibn Wa'il who was going around saying that he has no surviving male offspring, therefore he's cut off. We just have to wait a while, and eventually his endeavor will fizzle out because he's cut off. Now, we understand that this ayah is not absolutely literal, because Al-As ibn Wa'il was abtar. He was cut off, meaning he's deprived of supreme good in this life and the hereafter. But it's not literal, because he was not cut off from a lineage. He had sons, and one of his sons was Amr. Sayyidina Amr ibn Aus, who had a son, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Aus. So from his own progeny of this rejector comes a person to whom Allah Ta'ala has granted iman. So even if someone is cut off, Allah Ta'ala may bring forth from them someone who is not cut off. And this is the mystery of Allah in creation. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ, as Allah Ta'ala says, that He takes the living from the dead and the dead from the living. So from Wa'il, Al-As bin Wa'il, you have someone who is dead, and from him comes one who is living, someone who is granted iman. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we reflect on this chapter of the Quran, we understand the greatest lesson behind it. And that is, iman and goodness cannot be barren. It will produce fruits, and the influence of faith, of conviction, of character is not something that is cut off. It endures. It is deep-rooted. While falsehood, error, and evil might grow, and it might spread quickly, but ultimately it comes to nothing. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who understand the great abundance we have been given, to have shukr, gratitude for the great abundance we have been given, and to recognize the gift of the kawthar that is in our lives and in the lives of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli. اللهم صل وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرَ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرَ. The physical kawthar is the river of Jannah. Outside of Jannah, however, there is a large body of water that is called the Hawd, a pond or a basin, which has two streams of water flowing into it. And one of those streams is sourced in the river of Kawthar. And this Hawd or pond is the gathering place for the believers, and they gather on its banks. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described the Hawd, its water being whiter than milk and sweeter than honey, because it is coming from Jannah and it is sourced in the river of Kawthar. Dear brothers and sisters, we have to understand the value of this Hawd. We have to understand where it is, as it is the meeting place on the Day of Judgment. After the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to support the various tribes that had newly embraced Islam. Now that Islam had won over the entire Arabian Peninsula, many people who had been holding out for a very long time have now decided that they're going to become Muslim. But their very late embrace of Islam was not really out of a deep conviction. It was politically convenient for them to do so, and they saw it as the best option given the circumstances. And so the Prophet ﷺ wanted to work extra hard in solidifying their foundations, in reconciling their hearts and winning them over so that their faith would take root and become something real and established and enduring. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ would distribute much of the new influx of wealth to these new weak Muslims whose hearts needed to be won over and reconciled. The mu'allafa, those whose hearts are to be drawn near to Islam by making things easy for them. And so much of the wealth that had come into the possession of the Prophet ﷺ was going to these brand new Muslims whose iman was still very weak, if that at all. And as he was giving so much of this wealth, some of the Ansar began to speak amongst themselves, wondering, what about us? What about us? Why haven't we received a very lofty share of this influx of wealth that we have won? And when the word came back to the Prophet ﷺ, what the Ansar were saying, he gathered them inside of a tent. And he said to them, Ya ma'ashar al-Ansar, O assembly of the Ansar, what is this talk that has reached me from you and this feeling that you have harbored in your hearts? Did I not come to you when you were astray and Allah guided you through me? And when you were poor, Allah enriched you through me. And enemies, Allah united your hearts through me when before you were enemies. Is that not the case? And the Ansar, they said, Allah and His Messenger are more gracious and generous. To this, the Prophet ﷺ said, why don't you answer me, ya ma'ashar al-Ansar? Because that wasn't really an answer. Why don't you answer me? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what answer could we give? O Messenger of Allah, when to Allah and His Messenger belong the grace and the favor? What answer could we possibly give? They acknowledged that reality. And upon this, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, wallahi, if you wished, you could have said, and you would have been truthful, and I would have confirmed it. You could have said, you came to us, O Messenger of Allah, and you were disbelieved by others, and we believed in you. You came to us and you were deserted by your people, and we helped you and sheltered you. You were expelled by your people and we took you in, and you were in need and we comforted you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, do you feel upset about a matter of this world, dunya? The dunya, the lower world, material wealth, the things of dunya, do you feel upset about a matter of this world that I use to win over a people so that they might truly embrace Islam while I leave and entrust Islam to you? Are you not satisfied, O Ansar, that the people, those people, go home with sheep and camels? And you go home with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your dwellings. If you have to choose essentially between camels and sheep or having in your presence Sayyidul Wujud sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what choice do you make? He continued, by Him in whose hand is my soul, what you are taking home is better than what they are taking home. And if it were not for the hijrah, the migration, I would be a man from the Ansar. If the people took one path, and the Ansar took another path, I would choose the path and valley of the Ansar. The Ansar are my inner garments, close to me, and those people are my outer garments. O Allah, have mercy upon the Ansar. O Allah, have mercy upon their children. O Allah, have mercy upon their children's children. As he's saying this very emotional response, the Ansar realize the truth of the matter. What ultimately matters is not getting some sheep, getting some camels, getting a little bit of money. It is having Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahibul Kawthar. And so they began to weep to the point where the tears were soaking their beards. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are content with the Messenger of Allah as our nasib, as our share. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned them. He gave them a warning. And he said, after me, you will encounter much selfishness, much greed. And then he said, فَصْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. Be patient until you meet me at the hawd, at the fountain. These are the words of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they should hit us like a clear call across time and space. In talking to the Ansar, it was as if he was telling them, I know that this world will be hard on you after I leave. I know that there's going to be trials and tribulations. I know that you will see selfishness and strife, fitna, all of these things. And throughout all of these troubles, all of these difficulties, all of these losses, sorrows, pains and hurts in this world that you will face, just remember to be patient, hold fast, حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ, until you meet me at the hawd. What possible meeting with anyone among creation can we look forward to more than that meeting? Meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the hawd. Knowing that every pain, every sorrow, every loss, every trouble will be more than healed at that fountain when Allah Ta'ala reunites us with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَصِبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. Be patient until you reunite with me at the hawd. Dear brothers and sisters, that is the appointment. That is the appointment for the Sahaba, and that is the appointment for us as well. No matter what this world throws at us, all we have to do, as hard as it may be, is to be patient and hold fast until we meet him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the hawd, and drink from that hawd and be healed from all of the pain and sorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this understanding as we seek to make it through this life and all of its trials and tribulations. If we're struggling with anything, going through pains and trials, we hold fast, clinging tightly to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah ta'ala unite us with him at the hawd, with him being happy to see us receiving the drink of the hawd from his blessed hands, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin sahib al-hawd wa sahib al-kawthari. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin بحد المدد والنجود وصاحب الحوض المورود ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.